أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رمضان مبارك to all of you. We ask Allah عز وجل to accept our deeds. We ask Allah عز وجل to forgive us in this blessed holy month. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our fasting and to accept our prayers and to assist us in worshipping you. And we ask you, O Allah, to make this a month of blessings for all of us. Inshallah ta'ala, I would like to split my word into two words of advice. The first is to the families of the prisoners, and the second word is to us, the free. To the families, I would say, I would mention to you a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I would ask that you think deeply about them, contemplate their meaning, and try to keep these ahadith in mind whenever you think about the situation of your family member who's behind bars. The first hadith, and by the way, all of these ahadith are from Al-Jama' al-Saghir by Al-Imam al-Suyuti, and the classification of the ahadith is either sahih or hasan, which means that they are all strong, inshallah ta'ala. The first hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يود أهل العافية يوم القيامة حين يعطى أهل البلاء ثواب لو أن جلودهم كانت قرضت في الدنيا بالمقاريض. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the people of Afia are the ones who did not suffer in this life, the ones who were healthy and wealthy. These people who had it easy in dunya, on the day of judgment, when they see the rewards that are given to the people who suffered, they would desire that their flesh was cut by scissors or knives. Think about this. These people who had it easy in dunya, when they see what Allah has given to the ones who suffered in dunya, when they see the amount of reward that is given to them, they would wish, if they have suffered in dunya, not by going to jail, something easy, they would wish that their flesh was torn apart from their bones using scissors or knives because of what they see Allah giving to the people who suffered in dunya. Now, in dunya, it's the reverse. We pity the ones who suffer. In akhirah, it's going to be the opposite. The ones whom we pity are going to be the ones whom we envy. Therefore, whenever a believer goes through hard times in this dunya, and this is the qadr of Allah, everyone has to go through a trial and test, whether it is by losing a loved one or by going through moments of times of poverty or disease, or any other type of suffering that is part of this dunya. Because see, in dunya, there is nothing that is pure. There is no blessing in dunya that is not contaminated. That's only in Jannah. But in dunya, wherever there is good, you'd find it contaminated. That's how it is in dunya. The next hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إذا أراد الله بعبده الخير عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا وإذا أراد الله بعبده الشر أمسك عنه بذنبه حتى يوافى به يوم القيامة. Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if Allah wants good for his servant, he would hasten his punishment for him in this world. And if Allah wants bad for his servant, he would hold on his sins and then give him his punishment on the day of judgment. So if Allah wants good for his servant, he would purify him in the dunya. Because remember that if a believer is patient when they go through trials in dunya, that's all purification. It's a purification for what we have done, because everybody has sinned. Don't think that anybody is without sins. We all have sinned. But some of us would pay for these sins in dunya, and some of us would have to pay for it at a later time in the grave. If that's not enough, then on the Day of Judgment, if that's not enough, then the person would have to spend some time in hellfire until he's completely purified, because no one will enter Jannah except if they are pure. They have to be cleansed from all of their sins. And then Rasulullah ﷺ says, and if you want bad for a servant, he would hold on this punishment until he will meet him on the Day of Judgment. And by the way, if the punishment is in dunya, if the purification is in dunya, then it's easy. But if it's in akhirah, then it becomes more difficult. So it's better if a person is cleansed from his sins in dunya. The third hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ says, "Inna 'idama al-jaza'i ma'a 'idami al-bala." وإن الله تعالى إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the great reward is with the great suffering. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, He will test them. Therefore, if you see a person who is a believer, who has trust in Allah, suffering in dunya, that is a sign that Allah loves him. All families of the prisoners, please deliver this, if you can, please deliver this glad tidings to the prisoner. Tell them that your suffering, inshallah, is a sign that Allah loves you. And then Rasulullah ﷺ says, فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السَّخْطَ. If you are content with the decree of Allah, then Allah will be pleased with you. And if you complain about it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will not be pleased with you. And Rasulullah ﷺ says, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَةِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَمَالِهِ حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيرٌ. Rasulullah ﷺ says, the believer man and the believing woman would carry on suffering in this world, in themselves and their children and their wealth, until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment without any sin. They would meet Allah azza wa jal clean on the Day of Judgment, ready to go to Jannah. And this, Rasulullah ﷺ says, happens to the believing man and the believing woman. Now, this next hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكُونُ لَهُ الْمَنْزِلَةَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَمَا يَبْلُغُهَا بِعَمَلٍ. Allah would reserve for His servant a high status on the Day of Judgment. A high status. فَمَا يَبْلُغُهَا بِعَمَلٍ. But his deeds do not qualify him for that position. So Allah loves this particular person, and He reserves for him a particular spot, VIP spot in Jannah. But the problem is that the deeds of this person are not enough to qualify him for that level. So what happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَلَا يَزَالُ اللَّهُ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِّغُهُ إِيَّاهُ. Allah will test this person and make him suffer in dunya until he reaches to that level. Because he has to make up for the lack of deeds. How does he make up? By going through things that he doesn't like in dunya. And that's how he pays the price difference. And he ends up going to that high level on the Day of Judgment. Think about this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the final hadith. Whenever you remember the suffering that your son or your husband or your brother or your father might be going through in jail, remember this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَصَابَ أَحَدَكُمْ مُصِيبَةً فَلْيَذْكُرْ مُصَابَهُ بِي فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمُصَائِبِ. If a calamity befalls you, then remember the calamity of losing me, because it is the greatest calamity that could befall a believer. The death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the worst thing that has happened to us. When you think about your problem and you compare it to the disaster of losing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, losing the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us, then your problem will become pale in comparison. So whenever you remember what you're going through, remember the disaster of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that will make you forget what you are going through. So, brothers and sisters who have a family member behind bars, thinking about these ahadith would make the imprisonment of your family member a good news rather than a bad one. And that is truly the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ما يقضي الله لا يقضي الله قضاء للمؤمن إلا كان خيرا له. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whatever decree Allah has decreed for the believer, it is good for him. Believe in what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Believe that whatever happened to you or him is good, because it is the decree of Allah. Therefore, your attitude should be, whatever happens to you, you say Alhamdulillah. That is the true belief in the sixth pillar of Iman, and that is the belief in Al-Qadr. To believe that whatever happened to you is destined by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you should be content with the destiny that Allah has chosen for you. And you should believe that it is good for you. Why is it good? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ إِنَ أَصَابَتُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am amazed with the situation of the believer. If something good happens to him, he is grateful, and that is good for him. And if something bad happens to him, he is patient, and that is good for him. And that happens to no one but the believer. This win-win situation happens to no one but the believer. Because the one who doesn't have belief, if something good happens to him, he's not grateful. He says, I did it because I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm lucky, but he never says, it happened to me because Allah destined it to happen to me, and therefore I should say Alhamdulillah. And if something bad happens to the one who doesn't have Iman, he's complaining about it. Why is this happening to me? How come it's only happening to me? Why did this disaster happen to me? But the believer is not like that. The believer says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, this came from Allah, I'm happy with it. Whatever Allah will put in front of me, I will say Alhamdulillah. Whatever happens to me, I will say Alhamdulillah. So this win-win situation is something that is only for the believer, Al-Mu'min. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of Al-Mu'mini. Now my word of advice to myself and to the brothers and sisters who are free. We should say Alhamdulillah that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us this freedom. It is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. We thank Him for it. But we have a responsibility towards our brothers and sisters who are behind bars. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Al-Bukhari, فُكُّ الْعَانِي, release the prisoner. It's a clear command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an all-encompassing command to free the prisoner. However, that is, if it is by dua, if it is by financial support, if it's anything that would contribute towards the release of the prisoner, is something good and something that should be done. First of all, we should make dua for them, and don't underestimate the power of dua. And don't get tired from hearing this advice. Because sometimes we say, oh yeah, all the time we're all asked to do dua. And we want something that is more proactive, this is being passive. No. Dua is a powerful weapon, and dua is knocking on the gates of the heavens and seeking the assistance of Allah, who is capable of doing whatever he wishes. So we should make dua for our brothers. Now, when we make dua for them, Rasulullah says, "Man da'a li akhi bidhahr al-ghayb." If you make dua for your brother, an angel will make the same dua for you. So we're not doing them a favor by making dua for them. We are actually benefiting ourselves, because we are making dua for them and the angels are making dua for us. And we should assist them in whichever way we can. And if they know about that and they make dua for us, we should keep in mind that their dua, inshallah, is an accepted dua, because they are mazloom. They are oppressed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the dua of the oppressed, nothing stands between it and Allah azza wa jal. Doors of heaven are open for the dua of the oppressed. We should also support financially the brothers and sisters who are assisting the prisoners, such as the organization that brought together this event. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept their deeds, brothers and sisters that cage prisoners. They're doing a great job in assisting every prisoner that they know about. They need your assistance and help to carry on this very, very important work. So anything that you could give them, inshallah ta'ala, is something that Allah will reward you with greatly. And remember that this is the month of Ramadan, and Ibn Abbas says in Al-Bukhari, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ حَيْنَ يُدَارِسُ جِبْرِيلُ الْقُرْآنِ. Ibn Abbas said that Rasulullah was the most generous of men, and he would become the most generous during the month of Ramadan when he is studying Qur'an with Jibreel. So this is the month of Qur'an, and it's also the month of generosity. And the angels say to the one who is spending, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa, O Allah, replace what the one who has given, replace him with something that is better. Wa'ati munfiqan khalafa. And the one who refuses, then, O Allah, destroy what is in his hands. This is the dua that the angels make. So we want him to make dua for us, to give us something better than what we have given. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our deeds in the month of Ramadan, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to free our brothers and sisters who are in prison. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send down His tranquility on them. And finally, I something that I would like to also say to the families of the imprisoned. Sometimes it is the families who suffer, end up suffering more than the prisoner. And that is because if the prisoner has iman, Allah Azza wa Jal gives them tranquility and peace during their detainment, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, يُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْبَلَىٰ. Allah gives you sabr in accordance to the trials that you go through. So don't worry about them. Inshallah, they're doing fine, and they're actually enjoying their imprisonment. Imagine them now praying and making dua, weeping to Allah Azza wa Jal, reciting Quran, and making dhikr. All the people outside, many of them are busy with dunya, forgetting about Allah and their religion. So they are in ni'mah, they are blessed. And make dua for them. Obviously, I'm not saying to not be concerned with their situation, but keep in mind also that what is happening to them is good. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant our brothers and sisters freedom. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.